And the Bible said, blow ye the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Where? In my holy mountain. And let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. It is near. Blow ye the trumpet. It did not say blow the flute. Because when somebody blow the flute, they may say, oh, that's so lovely and everything. Oh, look at him playing a little music. But when somebody blow the trumpet, they look towards the east. They be like, what is happening? Something is about to come when they blow the trumpet. Amen. You want to know what is going on. Beloved, without a doubt, we are living in the most solemn and soul-testing time of Earth's history. We stand faced with an awesome fact that we are living in the very last remnant of probationary time for human beings. The entire universe stands, as it were, in the last moment, a breathless gasp, as they view with undivided interest the final moments of spiritual warfare on planet Earth. We are near at the time when the latter rain is about to pour out. Amen. And the message will swell into the loud cry. In a matter of seconds, Christ is just about to leave the most holy sanctuary to end his interceding work for the righteous. Jesus lifted up his hand and cried out, it is done. And to put on the garments of vengeance dipped in blood to come as a conquering king, to take his faithful children to the home of the saved. Amen. Who can't wait for Jesus coming soon? Who can't wait? Raise your hand. Oh, it's going to be glorious, beloved. But listen to this. But are we wrought in God's work to cry out and blow the trumpet, not a flute, to prepare the way of the Lord? Next slide. The time of which your labor is short, and men and women are perishing. Said the angel, should not the man who have had the great light cooperate with him who sent his son to the world to give light and salvation to men? Next slide, please. Shall men who have received the knowledge of the truth, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, show but a little appreciation of him who came to the earth that his divine power might be the heritage of every believing soul? Beloved, probation is rapidly closing. Why are we not blowing the trumpet and arousing the people who still lives in transgression, who turn for them to turn from their ways and live? Beloved, Christ gave his precious life to save souls that are perishing in their sins. And we have a great reformation of work to do. This work is a full-time job, not part-time. You don't just keep 9 out of 10 commandments, you keep all of them. It's constant ongoing, and there is no rest for the weary on this side of eternity, because we have an enemy who never slumbers nor sleeps, who stalks about like a roaring lion, whom he may devour. Next slide, please. We cannot afford in the few days we have here on earth to spend our time trifling and in nothingness. We need to what? Humble our souls before God, that every heart may drink in what? The truth. The truth, beloved, is the word of God. And let it work in a life of what? Reformation that will convince the world that it is indeed the truth of God. Let us remember, beloved, and this is very important. Let us remember, beloved, that profession is nothing unless we have the truth in the heart. And as of right now, we are seeing too much of peace and safety. People rather hear something that is lovely and soothing to their ears than obedience and repentance. When the mirror of truth is held up before them, they become indignant at the thought of receiving reproof. Blinded by sin, they refuse to repent. The Lord has seen our backsliding, church. And he has a controversy with his people. Many gather darkness about their souls as a garment and virtually say, we want not a knowledge of thy word. Thy way, O God, we choose our way. Isaiah 4:1. Let's all go there to Isaiah 4:1. I hope everybody's awake this morning, amen? Because this isn't the time to be sleeping in this side of eternity, amen? Isaiah 4:1. If everybody's there, please say amen. And then that day, seven women shall take a hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own food and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by your name and to take away our reproach. In other words, they are saying, look, Lord, we have our own words of life. We have our own righteousness. Just let us be called your people. We know what we're doing at Seventh-day Adventists. The displeasure of the Lord is against his people. In their present condition, it is impossible for them to represent the character of Christ. And when the true witness, who do I say? True witness is Jesus Christ, has sent counsel and reproofs and warnings because he loves them. And they have refused to receive the message. They have refused to come to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. Oh, beloved, next slide, please. If every soldier of Christ has done his duty, do you hear what I said? If every soldier of Christ has done his duty, if every watchman on the walls of Zion had given a trumpet a certain sound, the world might hear this, have heard a message of warning, but the work is used behind it while man has slept. Satan has stolen a march upon us. In Ezekiel 33:6, let's all go there. Ezekiel 33:6. If you guys are there, please say amen. Ezekiel 33:6, but if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity. By his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. God will hold us accountable, church, whenever we give the message to his people. Our duty, beloved, as a church, is to bear a plain, decided testimony against all evil practices, pointing sinners to the Lamb of God. Pointing to who? The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. He gives all who receives him power to become sons of God. In this crucial time, this is a life and death matter. Today, there is a need of stern rebuke, for grievous sin has separated people from God. Next slide, please. the smooth sermon so often preach. Make no lasting impression. The trumpet does not give a certain sound. Men are not cut to the heart by the plain, sharp truth of God's word. Beloved, if any preacher preach to you that it is okay to sin, God understands. Did you hear what I said? If any preacher preach to you that it is okay to sin, God understands. He's always forgive. He's a forgiving God. Let me tell you something, beloved. It is not in harmony from the word of God when any man tells you it is okay to sin. It's okay to go to party on Sabbath. Well, you should be in here in church. God understands. When somebody preach you this, it is not in harmony from the word of God, but from the doctrine of hell. 1 John 4:1, John tells us this, that beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out to the world. Next slide, please. Those ministers who are what? Man pleasers who cry peace, peace, when God has not spoken peace, might as well humble their hearts before God, asking pardon for their insincerity and their lack of moral courage. It is not from the love for their neighbor that they smooth down the message entrusted to them, but because they are self-indulgent and ease-loving. And watch this. Next slide. True love. What did I say? True love who seek first the honor of who? And of souls. Those who have what? This love will not evade truth to save themselves from the unpleasant results of plain speaking. When souls are in peril, God's ministers will not consider self, but will speak the word given them to speak, refusing to excuse or palliate evil. Beloved, whenever I read this, I'm like, Honestly, beloved, how far are you from obeying God? Well, I'm asking you this. When the Lord tells you to preach that message, don't sugarcoat nothing. Because see, you're just sugarcoating and everything. If you're just doing that, you're not saving the people. You think that you're going to like always get a check from the mail and preaching a message. You just do what you got to do just to make the money. You know what I'm talking about. But yes, but when souls are in perils, God minister will not consider self, even if death is in your face. Look at all the prophets that died in the words of the Lord. Look at Stephen. Oh, beloved, would that every minister might realize the sacredness of his office and the holiness of his work. Every minister of God must preach with the power of the Holy Spirit and don't sugarcoat the Lord's message. Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud and spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and shew my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. Let us all go now to 2 Timothy for chapter 4, 3 to 4. And I'm actually going to choose somebody to read it. So raise your hand if you're at 2 Timothy chapter, what did I say? Yeah, I think I just had it right here. What was I said? I said 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. Who has that right now? Raise your hand. Who wants to read it? Henrietta? Y'all hear that? It's very important, beloved. They will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to hear the words of the Lord. Rather go their own ways and their own pleasing and living a life of ease. Next slide. Early writings on page 118. Here's what, no, I'm sorry, not 118, 119. Ellen White said that I saw that the remnant were not prepared for what is coming upon the earth. Stupidity, like lethargy, seemed to hang upon the minds of those who profess to believe that we are having the last message. My occupying angel cried out with the awful solemnity, get ready, get ready, get ready! For the fierce anger of the Lord is soon to come. And next slide. The message of a true witness reveals the fact that a terrible deception is upon our people, which makes it necessary to come to them with warnings to break their spiritual slumber. The church is asleep. To break their spiritual slumber and arouse them to the decided action, a turning point in their life. To put away a sin in your life and give it all to Jesus. Many, beloved, are grieving away the Holy Spirit for the last time, and they know it not. Beloved, eternal life is at stake here, and every moment is freighted with eternal consequences. We are to stand as minutemen. Minutemen. Ready for service at moment's notice. The opportunity that is now ours to speak to some needy soul, the word of life may never offer again. God may say to that one soul, this night, thy soul shall be required of thee. And through our neglect, he may not be ready. In the great judgment day, how should we render our account to God? That's why Paul says in Romans 13:11, in that knowing the time, for now is it a high time to wake out of sleep. For now our salvation nearing and we believe. Next slide. The end is near. You hear what I said? The end is near, stealing upon us stealthily, imperceptibly, like the noiseless approach of a thief in the night. May the Lord grant that we shall no longer sleep, as do others. But that we shall watch and be sober. The truth is soon to triumph gloriously. And all who now to choose to be laborers together with God will triumph with it. The time is short. The night soon cometh when no man can work. There is to be a churches. Next slide. There is to be in the churches a wonderful manifestation of the power of God. But it will not move upon those who have not humbled themselves before the Lord and opened the door of the heart by confession and repentance and a manifestation of that power which lightens the earth with the glory of God. They will see only something which is in their blindness, they think dangerous. Something which will arouse their fears, and they will brace themselves to resist it. Because the Lord does not work according to their ideas and expectation, they will oppose the work. Why, they say, should not we know the Spirit of God when we had worked so many years? Because they did not respond to the warning, the entreaties of the messages of God, but persistently said, I am rich and increased with good and have need of nothing. Because the message of a true witness is a straight and testimony, it is often misunderstood as critical and unchristlike. The Laodicean mind and spiritual blindness rises up against the straight testimony, declaring it to be negative, fanatical, and destructive. And in fact, it is positive if accepted and only a curse to its opposers. Its design is to build up and restore that which has been torn down. It is the very Spirit of God Himself taking the possession of human agents for the bold proclamation of the message of present truth. It has for its source genuine Christian love and concern. As it is written, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. When I give the message to you guys, I am not to scare you. I'm trying to you to be ready. Be zealous and therefore repent. Revelation 3:19. But if we do not repent. Listen. But if we do not repent, then we cannot be forgiven. And if we are not forgiven, then we cannot be cleansed and empowered to go and sin no more. And as solemn a realization as it is, if we will not be set free from the power and the bondage of sin, ceasing from it, putting a sin away from your life, and promptly walking in the light of the truth of God, God will take His Holy Spirit from the church. And give it to others who will appreciate it. It will be easy for the devoted Laodicean to denounce faithful warning and reproof as critical and unchristlike, to call reformatory movements fanaticism. This has been the case in all eras of religious awakenings and reformation. How will we respond today to the prophets and the reformers of past shakings like Jones, Wagner, William Miller, Luther, John the Baptist, Jeremiah, Isaiah, Elijah, Noah, and Jesus Christ Himself? All of these men were denounced as critical religious fanatics by the church leaders of their time and by the general body of those who profess to be the people of God. Must we learn from history only by repeating it? The remnant church, beloved, the deep movings of the Spirit of God are not with them. The glorious presence of the King of Saints and His power to cleanse from all the moral defilement are not manifested among them. A carnal security and an ease in Zion prevail. Peace, peace is sounded in her borders when God has not spoken peace. They have forfeited the terms of peace. There is reason for an alarm to be sound in all my holy mountain. The sinners in Zion should be afraid in a time when they do not expect it. Sudden destruction will surely come upon all those who are in at ease. This isn't a time to be sitting down and be lazy, beloved. Because see, you keep on. And I'm telling you, you keep on living a life of ease. The end thereof is death. Oh, how so many of us are sleeping and not realizing the sacredness of our work for God. How will we receive the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, while our sinful character is not washed by the blood of Jesus? And how our characters fall short to meet God's high and holy requirements. Beloved, We have not resisted unto blood in our striving against sin. Do you hear what I said? We have not resisted unto blood in our striving against sin. Joshua 24:15, beloved, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. For those who have a desire to stand in his holy presence. Paul tells us this in Romans 13:12. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the work of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Next slide, please. As a people, we greatly, 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 greatly need to humble our hearts before God, pleading his forgiveness for our neglect to fulfill the gospel commission. We have made large centers in a few places, leaving unworked many important cities. Let us now take up the work appointed us and proclaim the message that has aroused men and women to the sense of their danger. Next slide. If every seven-day Adventist, listen to this, what Ellen White said. If every seven-day Adventist had done the work laid upon him, the number of believers would now be much larger than it is. And in all the cities of America, there will be those who have been led to the heed the message to obey the law of God. Next slide, please. Beloved, if we profess ourselves to be Seventh-day Adventists, you have to read this book. I am telling you. Testimonies for the Church. This is what Ellen White tells us of what we should do as a church and how we should be preparing the people and ourselves. So I very much encourage you, if you claim yourself a Seventh-day Adventist, read the testimonies for the Church. I'll be reading First Testament to the Church, Volume 9, page 26 and 27, and then trust me, this won't be long. I know some of y'all want to get out of here, go home, and everything, and do your business. She's talking about the kind of workers needed. Now, just imagine this as a story time, won't you? The work given us is a great and important one. And in it are needed wise, unselfish men, men who understand what it means to give themselves to unselfish effort to save souls. But there is no need for the service of men who are lukewarm. For such men, Christ cannot use. Men and women are needed whose hearts are touched with human suffering, whose lives give evidence that they are receiving and imparting light and life and grace. The people of God are to come close to Christ in self-denial and sacrifice, their one aim being to give the message of mercy to all the world. Some will work in one way and some in the other. As the Lord shall call and lead them, but they're all to strive together, seeking to make the work a perfect whole. With pen and voice, they are to labor for him. The printed word of truth is to be translated into different languages and carried into the ends of the earth. My heart is often burdened because so many who might work are doing nothing. They are the sports of Satan's temptation. Every church member who has a knowledge of the truth is expected to work while the day lasts. For the night cometh where no man can work. Ere long we shall understand what that night means. The Spirit of God is being grieved away from the earth. The nations are angry with one another. widespread preparation are being made for war. The night is at hand, and let the church arouse and go forth to do her appointed work. Every believer, educated or uneducated, can bear the message. Eternity stretches before us. The curtain is about to be lifted. What are we thinking of that we cling to our selfish love of ease while all around us souls are perishing? Have our hearts become utterly callous? Can we not see and understand that we have the work to do in the behalf of others? My brothers and sisters, are you among those who, having eyes and see not? And having ears and hear not? Is it in vain that God has given you a knowledge of his will? Is it in vain that he has sent you warning after warning of the nearness of the end? Do you believe the declarations of his word concerning what is coming upon the world? Do you believe that God's judgments are hanging over the inhabitants of the earth? How then can you sit at ease, careless, and indifferent? Every day that passes bringing us nearer the end. Does it bring us? God have mercy. Does it bring us also near to God? Are we watching unto prayer? Those with whom we associate day by day need our help and our guidance. They may be such in a condition of mind that a word of season will be sent home by the Holy Spirit as a nail in a sure place. Tomorrow, some of these souls may be where we can never reach them again. What is our influence over these fellow travelers? What effort do we make them to win to Christ? Time is short, and our forces must be organized to do a larger work. Laborers are needed who comprehend the greatness of the work and who will engage in it, not for the wages they receive, but from the realization of the nearness of the end. And the time demands great efficiency and deeper consecration. Oh, I am so full of this subject that I cry to God, raise up and send forth messengers filled with a sense of their responsibility. Messengers in whose heart self-idolatry, which lies at the foundation of all sin, has been crucified. As I close, next slide, please. Brothers and sisters, the blood of Christ shed on Calvary was sufficient enough to save the entire world. But only a few will accept it and benefit from it. Romans 10:21, Israel, he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. Let it be now, beloved, that we get ourselves right with God. No more living in laziness. No more being a coward, but be soldiers for our masters. And a very last quote I want to read to you. Our High Calling, page 187. Life is short. The things of the world must perish with the using. Let us be wise and build for eternity. We cannot afford to idle away our precious moments or engage in busy activities that will bring no fruit for eternity. Let the time hitherto devoted to idleness, frivolity, worldliness be spent in gaining the knowledge of the scriptures and beautifying our life and blessing and ennobling the life and the character of others. This work will meet the approval of God and win for us an heavenly benediction of well done. Who wants to be in the kingdom of God? Raise your hand. Say, praise the Lord. God is good. And all the time, stand up on your feet. Stand up on your feet. You are making a commitment today that you are going to get right with God here and now. Amen. Who's ready to go home, beloved? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit upon all of us. That you come with us a message of fire. And all we pray, Lord, that we not waste our times here on this earth, but that we can work for you and get ourselves right with you and help us, Lord, to put away sin in our life, because there are some here, Lord, who cannot let it go. And Lord, we pray, wash us by the blood of Jesus. Empty our own hearts and be filled with the Spirit of God. And Lord, whenever we profess to believe in God and that we are servants for you, let us live the life of the Word of God. And Lord, we need thee at this moment. We cannot do things our own way, but your way. Your way is eternal life. Our way is death. And Father, we pray to you. Keep us from the evil one. Thy word have I hidden in my heart, that we may not sin against thee. Lord, let it be the time that we prepare ourselves for what is coming, because a storm is about to come. Help us be ready, Lord. Help us to get right with you in character and heart. In Jesus, in Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. God bless you and keep you and cause his light to shine upon you and grant you peace.